be getting next time. Hang on, I gotta find my thought again. So I'm not saying only evaluate your provider unit annually, or only evaluate your provider unit when you have your application coming up. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you need to evaluate your provider unit at least annually, and it's great to do it more frequently if that makes sense for your provider unit. And that depends on the size. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish. It depends on a lot of things. So especially the QO section in the provider unit application provider unit evaluation is central to the quality outcomes section in the evaluation. So if you're not evaluating your provider unit, please do so. Okay. That's enough repeating from the January call. So I've labeled these examples A through E, and of course I don't have my computer in front of me, so I don't know which one is A. So let's take a look at, there is
several. The sample evaluation plan template is A.
Awesome, thank you. So let's take a look at these and just see what some of the other, some organizations are using. The document the sample evaluation plan template is actually something that I use for our WNA approver unit. And so I'm not showing so much the content of this, although to be transparent, this is one of our actual WNA approver unit goals, outcomes, and strategies in our planning, and it involves you all. But just to show you mainly the template that we use, and again, this is just one of several templates that you would be able to use in your provider unit evaluation. This happens to be part of the evaluation of our approver unit. So again, and it's just a sample of part of it. So this is just one of our goals. And we start out stating what the goal is related to. So is it structure, function of the provider unit, or nursing professional development? Is it structure, function, or outcomes? And our goal is to contribute to nursing professional development. The way that we measure that, so figure out what's your goal, then figure out how you're going to accomplish it. So our outcome measure is 95% of providers meet approval or approval with distinction standards. That's a pretty objective way to measure this. There are other ways to measure this as well. This is the first outcome measure of this section. So once you know what your goal is, what you want to accomplish, and you know what you're going to be measuring and what your target is, we include our strategies to achieve that, and we just have them listed out A through E. The strategies may change throughout the year. Some of them we've achieved, some we have not. We look at our statistics annually because that's what makes sense as far as figuring out the number of providers that meet standards for approval or approval with distinction. But the other ones I take a peek at quarterly just to see how we're doing with those. It makes sense to us because the data is, it just makes sense for us and the processes for these to measure it more often. So, and then I just include the latest outcomes or results. I know a lot of people In the results column, we'll keep a running tab, which is great. I just include our latest results so you can see those there. And then I've got something that I don't know. People have it on templates, and it's kind of stated a different way. But I have what do I want to accomplish for the next Plan, Do, Study, Act cycle. So we have the examples. We started recording the calls for people. We provided, before you do your application, we provided some written information to help you answer the questions. We implemented that in 2016. So in 2017, I want to stop and really evaluate, is that helping? We've done some informal evaluation as we've gone along, but I want to stop and formally evaluate, is that helping? And then there's just some other things to accomplish during the next PBSA cycle. So this is just an example for WNA's approver unit, how we document our evaluation plan. So again, we're starting with the goals, even though the criteria for 2015 just asks about your quality outcomes, we're still starting with a goal of what you want to accomplish and how do you measure. Okay, the next one, wanted to share, and this comes from Deb from Bronson. This is the use of, I have use of cascading goals. Again, this is just to emphasize the relationship of your outcome measures to your goals. So in this case, there's institutional goals. There's CE goals based on the institutional goals, so there's alignment with the organizational strategy. And then there's even personal goals, which is pretty cool. So really those flow down, starting with the organization, down through the CE as a whole, and then to each person in the provider unit. So I thought that was pretty cool. I also thought it was pretty cool that these are at the top of every CE agenda and that they're an agenda item with each meeting. So, again, it's depending on how frequently you have your meetings, could be monthly, quarterly. So this organization is really keeping their goals in front of them, which is great. I won't read through this. I appreciate the sharing. What I wanted to point out here was, you know, we have the goal of nursing professional development. Participants will identify their use, knowledge, and practice. If we were going to put an outcome measure in here with it, we would have a target. So you might say 95%. And then they have the strategies, not only the strategies, but then also what their measure is for meeting, exceeding, or far exceeding. So I thought that was, I have written down my paper, wow. I thought this was a really nice way to link your strategies to your goals. Okay, not so much of a template, but definitely food for thought. Oh, and actually, you could add a health measure and make that a template. Okay, and then the next one is the approved provider unit sample of goals, and this was shared by Carolyn Hughes of Essentia East. This is similar to what WNA uses, and the thing I wanted to point out here is that, again, it's identified whether the goal is related to structure and process or nursing professional development. Which makes it nice for us when we're reviewing. If I had a table like this and I was submitting my provider application, I would include it. And the reason is because by looking at this document, I can see, yes, this organization is doing provider unit evaluation. Yes, it's structured. It is most likely standardized. And they don't just list the outcome measures in the application. they're really looking at them. So if you do have a template like this and you're using it, this would be fine to share in the application. So a little bit different format, the goal, and then the other thing I really liked about this is why did you choose the goal for your approved provider unit? And that really, I know I've talked about, you know, use meaningful goals, and I think that why is really important, so I really liked that in there. And then strategies to measure. And then this, in the WNA approver unit one, I just had like the latest information. In this sample, there's really information, historical information, kind of note-taking, and you can see the progress of the process. And then the other thing I really think is neat about this is it's really, this provider unit is incorporating a tool, and the result is to increase the value of their provider unit to their organization, which is always a good thing to do in support of CE. So I just wanted to make that observation. And then the other side is the nursing professional development. And what I wanted to point out here, and I don't know if this is real or like a sample, but in the goal achievement, it has unable to determine. One of the biggest reasons to do provider unit evaluation isn't just to document what you're accomplishing, it's to figure out what you're not accomplishing and why. And so if you have a table like this, I guess the take-home message is to really make it a living document. And so it's just noted, hey, we weren't able to do this. We're checking into why. And then with the next iteration of this, I would expect to see, you know, what the resolution was. So do make it a living document. Don't do it just because you have to or it's a requirement. Try to make it meaningful to you. And it doesn't have to be complicated. And I like the thinking about the why. And then the next one is an example also from Carolina Essentia East. I would love to just steal this verbatim. I really would. This is a little different than the goals, the progress on the goals report. This is how they evaluate their provider unit. So it looks at the what and the who and the when and the how. I like that there's the column for evidence, and then the status and the notes. So please don't steal the content of this, but I think it's a really nice template, and it's got a really good flow. It's broken up into the structural capacity, educational design process, and quality outcomes. So I was just going to include pieces of this, but I think it's got a really good flow to it, and I think it's really a good template for provider unit effectiveness. And then the last one of these is actually a sample response. This was our provider unit, MetaStar's response on our last provider application. Please note this is based on the old criteria because the last time we went through our approval, which means another one's coming up soon, the last time we went through our approval, we were using the 2013 criteria or the old criteria. So this is just an example of the Q01 process description answer. So it asks about evaluating the effectiveness of the provider unit and what the process is for that. So the key points of the process are listed at the top. And we use the Baldrige framework here, so we tie everything into that. So that's why the information about Baldrige is in here. You may probably won't have that in your answer. But what you do need to have in your answer is the process. When is your evaluation held? How do you do it? Where does it start? What happens next? And then also in here, I spent a lot of time talking about the data that we use to determine if the provider unit is effective. So in the example of the table that we just looked at that organizes this, this is a more unorganized version of that, but it's part of the narrative response. So when you answer this question in your application, tell us about the process and then also what data are used. What we see a lot is people get to Q01 and in the first part of the application, you're talking about your activities. In the QO section, you want to stop thinking about your individual activities and start thinking about your provider unit as a whole. And so this is where you want to really think about provider unit evaluation and how you do that. And I've talked about some of these before, so I'm not going to go into detail, but we use in this 2013 criteria needs assessment data, evaluation summary data. So I'm not talking about the data from one specific activity here. I'm talking about an aggregate or a roll-up of our evaluation summary data as a reflection of how are we doing. We look at our goals and our strategies. We look at our outcome measures. We look at the organizational strategic plan, and this goes with the earlier example of those cascading goals, only we aren't quite that formalized with it. Again, with the old criteria, we talk about organizational needs assessment. We have in our organization projects we do that are based on CMS data, and so it's a really nice way to be able to look at before and after data. And then we look at our outcome measures. So your outcome measures should be part of every provider unit evaluation. And then we as an organization look at our stakeholder feedback and our customer satisfaction scores. And you know, those are two things that you may or may not incorporate. Stakeholder feedback for your organizations might mean very different things. It might mean in a clinical setting, your nursing administration or your administration. Educational setting, it could be your administrators there, and for organizations, that's often your stakeholders are your membership and your board members. So when we talk about stakeholders, think about who is your program, your CNE program, important to. So those are just some examples of ways you can think about provider unit evaluation. Again, none of these forms are mandatory. So I'm not sending this to you with a message of, use this form. I'm sending this to you with a message of here's some different ways that you could document provider unit evaluation and think about what makes sense to your particular program. Any questions on those? Are you guys still awake?
Yeah.
Yes, we're still here.
Yes,
okay.
We're here.
Okay, thank you. Megan, yeah. You have to stay awake. Okay, thanks. And I know I've kind of driven this point into the ground, but again, it really, the results on the provider unit application, I think it's something everybody struggles with, so that's why I wanted to bring it up on the calls. And there are a few organizations that aren't struggling with it, and I would invite you, if you have best practices, to share those. I think that there's a lot of value in that. Okay, any questions or anything anybody wants to say about that? Because then we're going to flip to a new topic.
This is Joan from over at Tintegra. I think what I'm going to do is try and schedule a little bit of time with you guys, because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in a conversation that I had started out a few years ago, and mm-hmm. then jumped ahead, and I'm a little bit lost. So
okay.
I think I'll probably spend some time with you guys.
That sounds good. Okay. Thanks, John. All right. So we're going to flip topics. First of all, before we do that, does anybody have any individual questions that they want to ask at this point? There haven't been too many lately.
I'll make up for it when I get there, I promise.
Do you mean related to this or to anything else?
Just anything, Rita.
Okay.
Anything that's related to sleep.
Okay, yeah, I get that. I'm struggling with when planners send me an activity to look at, and it seems like they're just taking the objective and put learner outcome and listing them individually each. And my understanding was you have an overall learner outcome, and it's like they're listing objectives but calling them outcomes. And
mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm struggling with, is that okay? I mean,
no.
Okay.
No, and Rita, the reason I say that is because a lot of people are having that struggle. And every time we have a criteria change, it takes some time to get used to it. It takes some time for us to get used to it as primary nurse planners, and then it takes time for nurse planners to get used to it as well. So I can really respect your struggle. Is anybody else on the call having that issue?
I'm having a hard time expressing, or maybe I'm misunderstanding the concept that of getting away from the idea that the outcomes have to be quite so measurable,
mm-hmm.
like making or helping planners to understand that we really don't have to be able to list two things or count three things or define four things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to everybody?
It does.
And I can't seem to make that idea, or the fact that we don't have to do that anymore, clear enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I guess, if anyone else is having that same struggle, or if maybe I'm wrong and we should still be doing that, and maybe I'm crazy.
Here's what I did. This is Joan. Here's what I did.
Hi, Joan.
Back when I was the primary nurse planner here, and we were just getting into some new criteria, it was before the last go-round of new criteria, and we talked about stuff like, okay, you need to have a meaty purpose. What is it that you want these nurses to do? And is it measurable? When they're all done with this program, what do you want them to do, and is it measurable? You know, and it isn't a single, you know, a bunch of little pieces. It's like, okay, I have my trauma nurse specialist course. It's a 6-week course. It's state-driven, state curriculum-driven. And when they're done, I want them to be able to adequately care for a trauma patient using, you know, the methodology that the TNS course has.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my overall goal, however it is that I worded that. And then when you look at it, the rest is nothing more than outline. The rest of that
is the learning outcome for the overall.
Right.
Yeah, right. Joan's talking about the old criteria. She's been out of the loop, and she's back in the loop.
Okay.
No, thanks for pointing that out.
Sorry.
But when you look at it, isn't that kind of how we do the outlines now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think two things. One is, and I know some of you have received it, but I think it's worth sending out again for you to use with your nurse planner. So I'm going to ask Megan if she can send this out this week. And it's just, it's a presentation excerpt that Kathy Chappell made while she was ANCC director. And it talks about learning outcomes, and it talks about the differences between learning objectives and learning outcomes, and it lists examples. So, you know, as Joan said, you think about what is it you want the nurses to be able to do differently or know or, you know, broadly. And then I know it's really hard to get away from thinking in terms of objectives. And I think that this handout will be helpful in giving some examples of learning objectives versus learning outcomes. And then the other piece is, no, you're not crazy.
Good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. It really does need to be measurable. And, you know, as Joan said, what is it that you want people to do, and then how are you going to measure that? It's really different because we always said objectives have to be measurable, but I don't think we actually measured them. So a learning outcome is for real. And I'll send you this this information from ANCC that I think will be helpful.
Mary Kay.
Uh-huh.
This is Lynn Samoa from Essential Health in Duluth. Sometimes it's not possible to get away from objectives if you are, for instance, having a conference where there are other disciplines in the audience that you do want to work with their organizations to provide credit for as well.
That is a great point.
Because we're in the process right now of a two-day conference and having to work with ASRT for the radiation technologist credits. They want objectives, so I had to do both this year.
Yep, and that's a really good point because I think a lot of people are offering multidisciplinary education.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, and also, somebody needs to put their phone on mute, not hold, because I'm getting background conversation. That's a really great point when you're doing interdisciplinary education. Most disciplines still require objectives, so it does, you know, your role as primary nurse planner is to also help the planning teams think about outcomes. And when are you planning, are you managing the ART portion as well yourself, or is somebody else doing that?
Somebody else did that from our office.
Okay. All right, so that makes it even more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're planning for both disciplines yourself, you know to think in terms of learning outcomes, and you're familiar with how to think in terms of objectives, so you're able to cover that. But when you have somebody else from the same organization who's planning other credits, and you come in as a primary nurse planner and say, hey, we need to think about learning outcomes, you may not always be well received, but it's important in our role to help people to start thinking in terms of, you know, start with the end in mind, and think about what is it that we want to happen as a result of this. So I feel your pain because MediStar does many, many different types of credits. All the requirements are different, and now with having the learning outcomes and objectives, it is a challenge to kind of incorporate those two ideas together. Does anybody else have that same situation where you're planning multidisciplinary activities?
We do it with other disciplines, but they write it up their way, like CME writes it up their way, social work writes it up their way, and
yep.
We write it up the nursing way.
And that's, I think that's the case in most organizations.
Yeah.
What we do at Madison here, too.
On the Avail itself.
That's what we do here in Detroit.
Okay. Yep.
For each presenter, then, I know on the education planning table you have to have an outcome for that specific activity when you have many or many presentations throughout, like an all-day conference. But, you know, you've said in the past the only thing required is will you be able to use, you know, were your disclosures made and will you use this to change your practice? So you don't have to list that in your eval, a learner outcome for each speaker in their presentation? Or
No, you don't have to. With the new criteria, we're responsible for assessing if it boils down to will people be able to use knowledge in practice.
Right.
And so that is what needs to be assessed. There is really no other requirement. What I'd like to kind of preface that, though, by saying you may, as an organization, still have things that are important to you that you want to evaluate. You also might be planning interdisciplinary education and need to have the same evaluation for CME and CNE. So there are a lot of situations where, even though it boils down to what's really important is assessing, you know, was the information, can it be effectively used, you're probably going to have other questions. Interdisciplinary credits require lots of other questions. And then it depends, too, on what what's important to your provider unit. So to our provider unit, it's really important for us to track conflict of interest, and it's really important to track some other kind of more detailed in the weeds things like that. So I still have a question on evaluations of, were there conflict of interest disclosures made? Because that data is important to our provider unit. So think about what is it as a provider unit you really want to know about your educational activities in addition to, are people able to use the information?
And we have that as well. And then the things like, did they use good teaching strategies and was it useful to their practice?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
For each one. Yeah, people want to list like five different things, and I'm like, you know, one thing to maybe bring them back to what that specific presentation was about when you have an all-day thing. Don't put, you know, everything that would be on an education presentation. Somebody put it on hold.
Great. Okay. Well, we're only missing about 8 minutes to the call. I don't know if you can hear me, but we'll go ahead. Okay, we'll go ahead and, I think we should probably go ahead and end the call for today.
I actually had a question. I don't know if that person's going to take it off hold. So regarding the outcomes versus objectives, what is it up to the planner to determine what the outcome should be then, or is that something the person that's creating the content should really be giving to you?
That is a wonderful question. I would say it's in the hands of the nurse planner and the planning committee to decide what learning outcomes you want to achieve and then share that with the presenter. Especially, I think it's helpful for presenters that have presentations that they make, maybe they make the same presentation to lots of different audiences and it's, I don't want to say canned, but it's, very similar presentation. I think it's really important for the planning committee to share with the speakers what the learning outcome is or what the learning outcomes are, and then also really to share the expectations with speakers as far as what you want them to cover. So
I would say the planning committee would be really instrumental in that.
Oh, okay, because
I think that's where there's been some confusion as far as from the planner standpoint, because I'm a planner, and I thought it wasn't up to my discretion to determine what the outcome should be for the activity. I thought that was supposed to come from the planner, or the presenter, of whoever's giving the content.
Okay, nope, and that is a good example of sometimes when the criteria can be confusing, or my explanation of it can be confusing, and if it's so, I apologize. But I think you as a nurse planner really drive those learning outcomes and help your committee understand those learning outcomes. That was a really great question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't you feel it really falls back on your assessment of the learning needs? The speaker doesn't know what your assessment of learning needs are. You,
right.
The committee should know that. And
right.
So you should be able to formulate that and ask the speaker, say, hey, here's what our situation is. Do you have the content to help us?
Yep. And that's a really, really good point. And the other thing that we share with speakers, we share our gap analysis with the speakers. We share our needs assessment as far as, you know, do we think this is a gap in knowledge, skill, or practice? And really try to provide the speaker with as much information as possible, because it does come down to the content that you need for your particular audience. And it's hard when you have speakers. By the way, to the person who just took us off hold, please don't put us on hold again. Thank you. That's why I'm kind of wary of speakers that do give the same presentation over and over again, which happens a lot. That's when it becomes really especially important to share the background of your activity and what your learning outcomes are. So good. That's a great point. Okay. Any other questions? It's just about one. Any other questions before we go? And I'll ask Megan to send out the
presentation.
Yep.
Mary Kay, is it okay if I post that on the website?
It is. I'm sorry, you guys. I have to sneeze. I'm like trying to talk and not sneeze at the same time. Hang on.
Bless you.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Usually when I start talking slowly, it means that I either have to cough or sneeze or something. So, Megan, yeah, if you could do that, that would be awesome.
Okay.
That would be great. You can go to the WNA website and find that, and do share the information with your nurse planners. That would be great. And I guess what I would like, next time I would really like to try a webinar. Really, really, really like to try a webinar. And I know some people have problems getting on webinars, so I've been kind of hesitant. But I would really like to do a webinar next time. And talk about something called NARS, N-A-R-S, that you might have heard of. It's ANCC's new activity reporting system that will be implemented in the next year or so. And then also what I'd like to do is, if you do use the information that Megan's going to post on the website about learning outcomes, use that with your nurse planners, see what questions they have, and bring them back to the group, and we'll see if the group can address those. So, all right, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much. Any other questions?
Mary Kay, would you?
Are they still going to?
Whoops, lots of questions.
Sorry.
Okay.
Are they still going to email the presentation as well as post it, the one you were talking about?
Megan, are you just going to post it?
Yeah, sorry, somebody was talking at the same time. Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
Since you're posting the presentation on the WNA website, the excerpt from the presentation, we won't mail it out. Is that correct? Or we won't email it out?
That is correct.
Okay.
But I will send an email when it is posted. So, half and half.
Okay.
Can I request that you do email it out?
Okay. Sure. Is there any...
I can email you directly, Megan.
Okay, that would be super.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Megan,
so,
do you have time? Or Megan, Mary Kay, now that you're both talking. Mary Kay, do you have any time after this call to just touch base with me, do you think?
I actually have a 1 o'clock meeting, and I'm in meetings most of the afternoon, but let's set up a time.
Okay, that sounds good.
Awesome. All right. I want to be respectful of your time. Thank you guys so much for joining the call today.
Thank you.
Have a good month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.